Now, this morning's message is about the power within. Last week we were looking in Acts 1 and 2 a little bit about the day of Pentecost and what was happening as a result of that event. And how does it translate into our lives as Christians? And I want to develop that a little bit more today with some practical application. Last week, we heard how we receive the gift of the Spirit. Who remembers that equation? It was repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit, Acts 2, verse 38. And the story goes on to say about how many, 3,000 received him that day, and the church had grown. We finished up last week with kind of an exhortation. If you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have received the gift of the Spirit. So you should be a witness. You should make other disciples. That's part of our life as Christians. You should assemble and speak of Jesus. You should bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You should use your spiritual gifts. And God gives each one of us spiritual gifts, and they're to be used in the context of the church body. You should be able to stand and overcome the troubles and the trials and tribulations of the world through your faith. You should not be afraid. You should be humble and gentle and loving. You should have self-control over your flesh. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you should be discerning and make good decisions. So this week, next one, I want to develop that a little bit further. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this was Jesus speaking. The disciples had come together. And remember, they asked him, Lord, is it now the time that you're going to restore your kingdom? And this was right before Jesus ascended back to heaven. And part of his answer was, in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So this power that Jesus was talking about was to be a witness. And what's interesting is when Jesus was saying this, he knew the future. He knew what was going to happen to each of the people he was speaking to in this crowd. And he knew that they were going to need that power to be a witness, because they were going to be a witness not just that one time, that one day, that day of Pentecost, and not just in that one place right there in Jerusalem, but wherever they went. In fact, Jesus knew that a short time after this, they were going to be scattered back to all of their nations. And so the power that Jesus was referring to here was to be a witness. We are to be witnesses for Christ. It wasn't to bring attention to themselves. The power that Jesus was referring to, that the Holy Spirit was going to bring and give to them and empower them with, was not to draw attention to themselves. So what is this power of God that he's referring to? The Holy Spirit is God. He's a divine person. But let's read a little bit about this power of God. Turn to the right to a couple books, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with 18. Are you there yet? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Catch that? The word of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. You know, that's kind of arranged reverse almost. What's it saying? In other words, the wise of the world, the wisdom in the world, is not what draws you to God. It's the kindness of God that creates repentance, draws us to God. It is the Holy Spirit working on our heart, drawing us to God. It is not our wisdom. We cannot rationalize someone into the kingdom of God. Back to verse 21, the rest of the verse. God was well pleased, though, or through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is both the power and wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We need to understand our place in this universe. You know, God is sovereign. We are not equal with God. We're not above God. We don't create God and tell him how to be our God. He is God. So, we're filling in the picture a little bit of what this power of God is. So let's ask the question. How can the power of the Holy Spirit help us? That's a reasonable question, right? I mean, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Jesus is saying, you know, hang out, wait for a little bit, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come, the power of God is going to come upon you. It's reasonable to ask, how is the power of the Holy Spirit to help us? Turn to your left to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to read a handful of verses, all of which Jesus was speaking. And he's going to fill us in about the Holy Spirit. So often, discussion and teaching about the Holy Spirit is all geared and oriented towards one thing, and that is speaking in tongues. There is so much more to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And Jesus gives us a lesson here that he was speaking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. We rarely focus in on this, but we're going to this morning. Are you there with me? John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. In your Bible, that is probably uppercase helper, right?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's comforter.
That means it's a deity. It's a personal pronoun. I will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Why is Jesus telling them about this? Because he's in the process of telling them he's going to go away. He is not going to physically be with them anymore. And he knows how they're going to feel. And he's comforting them by saying, the Father's going to send you another helper and he will be with you forever. Because Jesus is not physically going to be with them for a period of time. 17, that is the Spirit of Truth. Truth, the Spirit of Truth. There is so much teaching in the world of philosophy about what is truth. But we have the Spirit of Truth within us so we can discern. Is this baloney or not? Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. If you've repented and been baptized, you've professed Christ as your Savior, you've been born again, the Holy Spirit is in you and with you, abiding with you. 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. Amen. Move down to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit is our Helper. He is the Spirit of Truth. He's going to abide in us forever, and he is going to teach us. He is our teacher. He's the best teacher. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You know, that's the thing that we all suffer from, right? We forget things. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you remember, to remind you. He's the great reminder.
But, Pastor, mm-hmm. But the thing is that, and the reason to teach our kids is, you can't remember something if you didn't know it in the first place.
Amen.
And so that's the reason to make sure that we can do what we can with our kids and our grandkids to teach them what they need to know, and even if they forget it.
Yeah, Jesus is saying, you know, he's acknowledging that there's things that they saw and learned and heard while he was with them, and, you know, they might forget some of it. And we see in some of the accounts that they did.
Right? I'm shocked.
And it came to them when they saw him again and his risen self. And they said, oh, yeah.
How many times do we have a verse pop into our heads when we're talking to somebody that we hadn't thought of in a long time? And this is exactly it.
Yeah.
So when I go across the whole place and get to the other side and go, oh, what was I coming here for? And it pops into my head. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit.
That's exactly right.
Real-time working.
There you go.
Continue down to chapter 16, verses 8 through 15. Chapter 16, beginning with 8. I just did that one. Didn't I? No, I didn't. I'm sorry. Man, somebody's paying attention. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. So Jesus is saying that the Father is going to send his Spirit, and his Spirit is going to be purposed in testifying about Jesus the Son. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us, he draws us, he testifies about Jesus the Son. And we're going to read a verse in a few minutes that expands on that. Okay.
That can go 16.
Yeah. I didn't. Well, let me do 27 too. 15, 27. So Jesus says, he will testify about me, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. So you see that process, you know, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus, puts it in our heart, and then we testify about him too. And that's why in our service we have a time for you to testify. Okay, permission to go to chapter 16, verse 8. And he, when he comes, will convict the world. He will convict the world. What does that mean? Convict in this sense means he will bring to your attention and make you agree, because you're going to feel bad, you're going to acknowledge, you're going to realize he will convict you concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. How many of you can remember before you were born again, when you had that conviction, you were thinking about surrendering your life to Jesus, but you kind of had that conviction, wow, yeah, I've got to agree with God, I am a sinner. I'm not righteous. And you were convicted in heart, and you agreed with God, and you came to Him, and you said, here I am, Lord, I'm a sinner, but take me. Continue in verse, second part of verse 10. Jesus says, I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the father of the world has been judged. The ruler of this world has been judged. Who's that?
Satan.
12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit is also our guide. We've seen he's our teacher, our helper. You know, the word helper in the Greek means, as you see on the screen here, one called alongside to help. Parakletos. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. So we see him doing all of these things. Verse 13, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Holy Spirit hears from the Father, and he brings it back to us. It says, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. In other words, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For he will take of mine, take of Jesus's, and disclose it to you. So he's teaching us. He's guiding us. He's revealing to us. He's disclosing. He's testifying. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So, when we have a question, when we don't know something, if we will just ask, the Holy Spirit will check with the Father and reveal to us what his mind is, what his will is for us. Now, maybe about now you're asking, okay, how do I make this work? How do I activate this? We'll deal with that in just a few minutes. Turn with me to Romans. Go to write a couple books to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 15 and 16. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen.
For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. What is he saying there to us? What does that mean? The Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. What does that mean? We know that we know, right? In other words, you know from your spirit that you're a child of God. You put your faith in God. You put your faith in Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, and you know that you know. People will say, how do you know you're born again? How do you know you're a Christian? Your spirit is being testified by the Spirit of God. You know that you know. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a list of things that you did or do. It's a spiritual thing. We're in chapter 8, down to 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we see here, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor, he's an interceder, and he reveals, he searches the hearts, and he reveals to us the will of God. How many of us really kind of just take this for granted? How many of us are really not asking God, what is your will in this matter? You know, should I do this? Should I do that? And we're told right here, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If we will ask, the Holy Spirit will search. He will intercede for us.
You know how I always I mess up names with people a lot of times. And I did this yesterday with somebody, and I called them by the wrong name, and they corrected me. And it's embarrassing, okay? How embarrassing is it when we ask the wrong part of God for something? I mean, we should know God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, who we're talking to. Mm-hmm. And I think we mess that up quite often. You know, and it's like, really? You guys can't, you know, how come you're talking to me? You're supposed to be talking to him. I mean, is that weird or stupid?
I told you, go through my secretary.
No, don't even call the Spirit secretary. Oh, man.
Well, what I was focusing on in your question was forgetting somebody's name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, literally, I asked God, I said, Holy Spirit, remind me what their name is, please.
Yeah.
Does it work?
It does. You know, if you just wait for a little bit, he'll remind you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a simple system, guys are bud and girls are sweet.
I usually just go with, hey, you. It works every time.
Okay.
Try that with God.
You can bypass details, you know.
So what are some of the things...
It would be Yahweh, not him.
Let's get into kind of the practical application of what we just read in Scripture. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit can help us with, that we suffer with, that He can remove from us? What are some of those things? And I don't want to make a guess or think about it too much, so I'll just give you the answer.
He doesn't want to get started.
He knows this.
I know better. Been around this crowd long enough.
3 hours later.
So one of the things he can help with is basically any mental health disease.
Yep.
Any mental health problem or issue he can help with. He can help with any of our fears, any of our addictions, Amen. Any of our lusts of the flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
He can help us with our desire to sin. Yes, you have a desire to sin. And our tendency to sin. Mm-hmm. He can help us with that. How? Because all of these things are worship disorders. They are worship disorders. They are not chemical imbalances. Yeah, you may have a chemical imbalance. But these are worship disorders. We are focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on something else and not God.
Amen.
We're not putting our trust in God. We're not asking Him to help us, to remove this from us.
Great.
You might say, but I did ask Him. I had a guy this week talking to me about wanting to quit smoking. And, you know, he wants to quit smoking. You know, I asked God to help him. But God gives us the ability to do it. But we have to rely on Him. But what happens when we decide, well, I want to quit smoking, but then we go ahead and smoke again right away, is because we have listened to the lust of the flesh that says, give me some more nicotine. So we have to, there are so many people that I've talked to in life that have gotten healed like that from any of those addictions.
Amen.
And it's about putting our trust in God and letting the Holy Spirit work in us.
You know, the Holy Spirit works in my life primarily in two different ways, or I allow Him to. One is, years and years and years ago, I used to use a whole bunch of terrible language. And then it's one thing to not say that stuff, mm-hmm. okay, out loud, but then it's another thing to think it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, God, I don't even want to be thinking this stuff. Mm-hmm. And okay, Holy Spirit, can you help me with that? And the Holy Spirit really has in a lot of different ways. But you have to almost replace stuff that you used to do with something else.
Sure.
And so now that's please God help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm advocating to the Waterworld Guys group, is just instead of saying something negative, I mean, why do you want to damn that poor wrench that just pinched your finger to eternity without God? Okay, really, you want to do that to that wrench? Does that make any sense at all? Why don't you say, please God, help me? Okay? And so that's one part. And then the other part, that for us guys that build things and make things and put things together, Holy Spirit, unbelievable. I go to bed and my head's jumbled up and I've got six different ways to build this thing and I'm not sure which way it's the best way and I'm trying to wire this multiple relay thing with several different pumps and I'm jumbled up in my head and it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to sleep. Adjust my head and in the morning I need to wake up with a solution here. And I cannot tell you how many times that I wake up and it's like, perfect, thank you, got it, we're off and running. Well, the Holy Spirit in real time. This is not a feeling that we go through. This is God really working in our hearts, and we evangelicals are really light on the Holy Spirit a lot of times because the Holy Spirit has been co-opted into this feeling thing, and it's not a feeling. It's God really working in our hearts and minds.
Yeah. Right before I quit smoking cigarettes, I was suffering from COPD. You know, COPD, not even knowing it. Just, you know, waking up in the mornings and all that. Coughing that goes on, and while that was going on for about a year and a half to 2 years, I was starting to hate cigarettes. I really was, especially when I was working the dock business, and I got a shirt on like this, and I'm bending over the water to put, you know, do something on the side. There goes the pack down into the water. I don't know how many times I walked out the door forgetting to grab the cigarettes and, you know, things like that, but. Due to time, I was developing a hate for them. And then that one fateful morning where I spent like over 3.5 hours of bringing up all kinds of stuff, and I finally was able to, you know, call quits for a little while. And stupid me, I let up another cigarette and finally dry, and it went in like fire. And right after that, I put it out, and then I had it in mind, I don't want to ever smoke a cigarette again. And right after that, I was smoking again, but it was in my dreams. Cigarettes was a major part of my life for over 30 years. And there were several times I'm smoking a cigarette in my dream, and then I wake up and I get this feeling, and I thought I quit these things, you know. And sure enough, I wake up, and yeah, you know, I mean, it was really weird, you know. So, but yeah, it's been wonderful, and it's been over 23 years now. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was reading an article that 13% of our population suffers with depression. That's a huge number.
Yes.
And this is another thing that the Holy Spirit can help you get rid of. A lot of people suffer from it. And don't take this wrong. I'm not saying medication has no place. But the Holy Spirit can help you come back into the normal way that He created you. So there's very practical solutions. In fact, many of these things are spiritual problems with a spiritual solution. And this is what the Holy Spirit provides for us. Next one. So let's look at the positive side. What are some of the things that we can achieve because the Holy Spirit is working in and through us? The positive. You know, there, God, through His Spirit, empowers us to go be missionaries in foreign lands, in third world countries like Aspen Springs. He empowers us to plant churches. He empowers us to evangelize people. Maybe you're having a conversation with someone and people just pause and say, Holy Spirit, help me know what to say. And He'll give you some words to say. He will empower us when we're trying to help in ministries. We want to minister to people, compassion ministries like the food pantry and the various things. He will help us maybe if you want to teach Sunday school and you feel like, wow, I'm not equipped. I don't know it all. The kids know more than me. He will help you. He will empower you to do it. We can trust the Holy Spirit. Being a disciple maker, you know, Jesus told us to go and make disciples in all nations. So maybe even a business. The Holy Spirit can empower you to begin a business and to operate it, and be a witness through the way that you operate your business. Even if you're an employee for Walmart, you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness to other people.
It's about time I find some soil to plant seeds. I've been going with the La Brea tar pitch, and that hasn't been working too well.
So these are all examples of the power of God working in and through us. So, hopefully by now you're thinking, you're asking, okay, got the picture. Now, how do I put this into action? How do I activate the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in my life? And I have a list of 10 things. Write them down if you need help trying to remember them. But the first part is we have to surrender. We have to surrender our will to His. You know, His will has to be first in our life. Mm-hmm. You may want to do something, but then the Holy Spirit says, I don't think that would be the most profitable thing to do. At that point, do you say, okay, your will be done, not mine. We have to surrender our will. We have to believe. We have to have faith. Do we believe that God is who He says He is, that He can do what He says He can do, and that He wants to do in our lives? Do we believe that? We have to have that faith. You're gonna say yes, and you're going to start doing it, and there's going to come times where you're going to have difficulties and trials and questions, but that's when it really is called for faith, when you have to ask that question.
You know, God put you... There's somebody that's like, I never thought I'd ever work at Walmart. There's somebody there that you're going to be a witness to bring to Him.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited about you guys working there. More
well,
witnesses.
They already got my witnesses. I'm asking to have Sundays off so I can come to church.
Yeah, I have two. They
yep. Right on. Yes. Hats off to you guys.
Here come these radical Christians.
This church has been my cornerstone, my foundation for about 10 years now. So,
No, I already told her. I said, I have Sundays off. I said, I go to church. I'll work after church. But,
Well, so, Walmart's going to be thinking, people here want Sunday off for Amazing Grace, you know.
So then, as we said earlier, you got to ask. You know, ask God. Ask the Spirit to reveal to you. You must think. You got to think. When you're having this conversation with God, it's called prayer. You know, you ask, and you think, and then you listen. How many of us are really listening for God's answer? Or do we just pray, telling God how it's going to be, and walk away from the prayer room?
Exactly. No.
We need to listen.
Well, sometimes we listen if we've asked. But I think the Holy Spirit comes to us whether we've asked or not. And a lot of times we're not listening.
Amen.
I mean, I see my walk of faith is a big walk of hindsight's 20/20. And I see, after it's all happened, and I look backwards, I say, oh man, did I miss that? He was trying to tell me, I wasn't listening, I wasn't paying attention.
And that's why God created no cell range.
So you got to listen for stuff all the time, not just trying to get what you asked for.
Listen well, unceasingly.
By the time I listen, but I'm not here. And vice versa. It's so, that, you know, I'm going to do this, but something said, no, don't do that. If I go ahead and do it anyhow, boom.
You learn.
Yeah. One thing that I've found is oftentimes when He answers, it's not right away. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and that always right when you hear.
With this stuff that I've been doing, it took a long time for an answer, and I completely forgot what I was even praying for in the first place. You know, prayed for it, and then it took a while, and I forgot that I was even praying for it, and then He came back with an answer, and I was like, oh, that's what that was about.
The surrender one, is that, back to that one, sorry, is that where you ask for forgiveness so you have a clean workbench?
Well, surrender is kind of broad brush. I mean, bottom line is we got to surrender our will on life. If we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, if we're going to let the Holy Spirit use us, we have to surrender our will to His. You know, His will has to be first.
Of course, another thing you got to keep in mind, there are going to be times God's going to say no.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to be tired. What? He's going to say no.
Just imagine if you'd have given us everything we prayed for.
That means sometimes He says, you've got to be kidding. You want that?
And that's an answer.
Yeah. Okay, so number six is recognize. We need to recognize Him working in our lives. So when He gives you an answer, when He shows you something, acknowledge Him, recognize it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That was you. I know that was you. And then we have to act. You know, it's one thing to hear the answer, but then we have to do it. We have to do it. We have to observe what is happening as we are following what the Holy Spirit teaches us to do. So, you know, let's go through life observing and seeing what God is doing in our actions and other people's lives. Observe. And then we want to test it. We want to test the things that we think we're doing that the Holy Spirit told us to do. Maybe we didn't hear it right. If we test it, it's of God, it will stay, it will grow, or we will find, oops, I didn't quite hear that right. Or, oops, I didn't do it exactly right. So we need to test these things. And then finally, soak. And by this I mean soak in the Word of God. And this is where it's so important to read your Bible regularly and just, you know, be praying, have your ears open, be listening as you're reading the Word of God. The Word of God, He's talking to you, but also the Spirit will talk to you as well while you're reading. But we need to be soaking in the Word of God.
You didn't have to listen to your feelings or generate some emotion in there at all.
Sometimes He says, haven't you been listening? Okay, go ahead. Do that and see how it works out for you.
Yeah. But then, so what we've seen this morning is that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all work as one. And they're working in through life. So I hope I've been able to communicate this morning how that's happening, how the Father, Son, and the Spirit are working together in our lives. Last one. So I just want to finish up by, now that we've had this lesson, you'll understand when I say that Amazing Grace is a Spirit-filled church. You understand that? Mm-hmm. We are a Spirit-filled church. That's because, or not because anyone speaks in tongues. If there's this whole thing in Christendom where they say this is a Spirit-filled church because they speak in tongues. And what I've tried to communicate this morning, which I hope you've seen and understood, is there's so much more to the Holy Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church because of that. We've repented. We've been baptized. We've received the gift of the Spirit. And it's because of His power that we are a Spirit-filled church. And He is producing fruit and grace, and He is the evidence of residence. The evidence of residence. We know that the Holy Spirit is here because of the evidence we see through the testimonies, the blessings, the Word, our spiritual understanding.
It's not Spirit-filled because this spot is Spirit-filled. It's Spirit-filled when we come in and bring Him with us.
Yes, and we welcome Him in.
In Corinthians, he says that the greatest gifts of these is the gift of love. And I think this church shows the gift of love very, very
well. Amen, amen. That's right on. That's exactly what we're talking about.
This is a love shack. It has a different meaning altogether.
All right, so any other reflections or takeaway from the message this morning before we finish up here?
I just want to continue on that thought, is that it is that love. And when I was praying and sick 2 years ago, coming off of some prescription medication that ruined me, It was so sick. I was just, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do. And then finally, I literally felt like I was laying on bed on my floor in this apartment for probably a week. I hadn't even left the apartment because I was just feeling so awful. And I felt this rush come over me, and it was like still daylight. And I felt like I was lifted up and just held, and the word benevolence just echoed. Like, it was like if I had taken DMT, which I have not. But what I would imagine it like, because my whole beingness was just love. I felt that love of the Holy Spirit. At that very moment, I realized, like, that is God's love. And that is what is going to heal me. And that's what I was looking for in everything else, everywhere else, all of my life. And I was like, once I knew how much that love was there, then I started to love myself. And I was like, oh my gosh, if he loves me this much, I really need to take care of myself, better care. And it was just, it still gives me goosebumps just to hear it, because I still hear it, like, echoing his benevolence. And that's exactly what it was. He was benevolent and just brought grace in my life, and it's amazing. Oh, love it.
Amen. Any other takeaways from today?
I got one. I come here once in every while. And every time I come, I kind of get rejuvenated a lot. Our church is in service until late June, I guess. I don't know. I quit keeping track of them. But when I come in, I really feel great when I walk out the door. You're also blessed to have who you have. And the other thing is, surrender is too easy of a word. It's die of self.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you can't die of self, boy, look out, because you don't let the Holy Spirit work in you at all. It's very difficult.
Amen. Thank you. Any other takeaways? All right. Well, let's finish up. Let's gather.